This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Today, everything we know about the Murdaugh family murders thus far and the ongoing drama surrounding dad Alex Murdaugh. Interesting news with sons of Murdaugh's housekeeper. It's another death here, who died in a trip and fall where they reached a settlement with the estate's former lawyers, and much more. Today, the Murdaugh family and Alex Murdaugh.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of.
That it is, and back into the Murdaugh family murders. And you remember, it's like just a trail of death. And there's more being found all the time. It's Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes with you. If you like the program, please go and press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. And if you want to support the show, get to the bonus content over there, get advanced episodes, all of it commercial free. It's patreon.com and search the Dark Side Of, or go to our website, darksidepod.com. So back to our fun story of the Murdaughs. You've been waiting? You've been excited?
I'm like, it's kind of like a episode of Dateline or something that you can't get up from.
Yeah.
Because you have to find out. It just gets crazier as it goes, and you have to find out how it ends. Mm-hmm. So you can't walk away from it. That's how I feel about this story.
Yeah.
It's like a really good episode of Dateline.
It just keeps going. The housekeeper thing is a new one, where there was a trip and fall.
Yeah.
I when I read that one today, I'm like, oh my God, really? And that, in, you know, somewhat mysterious circumstances, it's just like, how much death, you know, do you end up, can one have around them in such weird circumstances?
Well, and we'll get into this housekeeper one, but I'm concerned that it wasn't an accident at all. It was planned so he could collect the homeowner's insurance or whatever and never gave it to the kids.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, because there's something very odd about it. Everything happens to this guy.
It feels like, and I just like, now that like everybody kind of knows what's up with him, you know, it's like now everybody's like, now, remember that time? Remember this time? Remember that? And I'm guessing that a lot of people are just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And like kind of connecting a lot of dots throughout the years.
Because mm-hmm. That frequently will happen. Because, you know, when, you know, any number of these things happened, it mm-hmm. was tragic. And then when you realize there's a common denominator throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, I'm seeing the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. But let's jump into this and take a look at some of the a little recap of things that have been going on in case this is your first time joining us here talking about the case. So we're not going to go into every detail that we've already covered in the previous episodes, but I think we need a little like more appropriate All right. Some peppy music to kind of... Or what about this one? Oh, I like that. Okay, let's go with this.
I like that one better.
So, a shocking double murder. On June 7th, agents with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division responded to a late-night 911 call saying that two people were dead at a residence in Islandtown, South Carolina. Margaret Maggie Murdaugh, 52, and her son Paul Murdaugh, 22, were found dead on the 1,770-acre property where the family has a hunting lodge. The Associated Press, the Island Packet, and WSAV reported. It's kind of weird reading a story like this.
It's kind of weird hearing it.
I could see like a young news person that doesn't know how to like, you know, kind of do inflections, just smile. And they read the news of this sort of a way. So anyway, they were found dead. And it was rather bizarre at first. Then a second tragedy struck family again 3 days later when the family patriarch, a well-known local prosecutor, Randolph Murdaugh III, 81, died, according to his law firm. Randolph's cause of death has not yet been released. Then a mysterious shooting happened. On the 4th of September, news broke that Alex was shot in Hampton County, South Carolina. He was shot in the head while he was changing a tire. Murdaugh's attorney, Jim Griffin, confirmed to People. He's conscious and talking, which is a good sign. And an unidentified Good Samaritan drove him to an ambulance where EMTs began treatment and called a helicopter to airlift him. Griffin told People that Alex suffered an entry and exit wound, a skull fracture, and minor brain bleeding in two places at the time. He said that the gunshot wound was not self-inflicted. A SLED spokesperson, Tommy Crosby, told People agents are actively investigating the incident and local authorities classified it as an attempted murder. 2 days later, Alex, whose wounds were superficial, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division told People, released a statement saying he was leaving his job at Peters Murdaugh Parker Ellsworth and Dietrich and entering treatment once he left the hospital. The murders of my wife and son have caused an incredible difficult time in my life, he said in a statement, which was obtained by the Island Packet. I have made a lot of decisions that I truly regret. I'm resigning from the law firm and entering rehab after a long battle that is exacerbated by these murders. And then, what happens next? Well, more legal troubles. The case took another turn on September 7th when People reported that members of Alex's law firm had confirmed him about a missing money or confronted him about missing money on September 3rd before notifying law enforcement and the South Carolina Bar Association. The Island Packet reported a source told the outlet that more than $1 million was missing. After being confronted, Alex told his lawyer that he would be resigning. So it wasn't that, you know, he just resigned. It was he was confronted. Oh, I'm done. See you later. Family spoken out in the midst of all the news. Alex's older brother, Randolph Murdaugh, the fourth, allegedly came forward to denounce the alleged criminal actions of his beleaguered brother, speaking out for the first time since Alex resigned from the law firm after members accusing him of misappropriating funds and pushed him out. Randy said in a statement obtained by People, I was shocked, just as the rest of my PMPED family, to learn of my brother Alex's drug addiction and stealing of money. I love my law firm, family, and I also love Alex as my brother, the 50-year-old wrote. While I will support him in his recovery, I do not support, condone, or excuse his conduct in stealing by manipulating his most trusted relationships. And then the truth comes out. September 15th, a surprise break in the Alex case. Authorities alleged he attempted to arrange his own shooting death in order for his surviving son to receive $10 million in life insurance. Curtis Edward Smith, the man Alex allegedly hired to kill him, was arrested by the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division on September 15th and charged with assisted suicide, assault and battery in a high aggravated nature, pointing and presenting a firearm, insurance fraud, and conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. So, looks like bad hitman. I mean, that's something to talk about right there. I'm kind of interested in, because I don't think we've really covered that part of the story in greater detail. You pay the guy to do it. He doesn't do the job. What do you think?
Well, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because if the guy is really going to go as far as to shoot you in the head, he would fire a second, and not kill you, he would fire a second shot. And So he had to have been paid to do it. So once that comes out and the guy's not dead, you're not going to get your money, or I guess you already got it.
I think it's a pay in advance situation. And
I guess if you're going to end up dead,
yeah, he can't
you
really
would
pay.
Have to pay in advance. Yeah, I don't know. I've never been caught up in this before.
Anytime I've had to do a hit on somebody, they always pay in advance. They just
But
do.
The one That's thing the I do want to go back to yeah. that was at the very beginning of this that I didn't know about. His dad died.
Who was it? There was another death, yes.
Yeah, it was after the... Yeah. Was it after the double homicide?
I'm going back to it right now.
Because that one I did not know about.
3 days later, when the family patriarch, a well-known local prosecutor, Randolph Murdaugh III, 81, died, according to his law firm. Randolph's cause of death has not been released. That's an interesting part to that. He died. Is he part of the same law firm that his son is a part of?
Could be. But once again, as when we were talking about this story before, I'm like, because I can pick up on this shit from watching Dateline and those type of shows that I love. But it's a follow the money situation. So if your dad dies, who gets money? The kids.
Sure.
You know, if the wife dies, who gets the life insurance policy? The husband.
Well, you're right. The follow the money does make sense. Another theory I would have on the dad is that maybe he got wind from these other, because I don't know if it's the same firm. I'm thinking maybe he got wind, though. You know, attorneys know each other, that maybe someone in the other firm said, look, dude, you know, you're a good guy, but this is what we're finding about your son. This is going to be bad news. And maybe he was so afraid of what that would look like for his reputation, his son doing that, that, you know, they didn't release cause of death yet. So I wonder if
and
he
why
killed
wouldn't
himself.
You release cause of death yet?
I know. I don't know. Because, you know, that's what I'm wondering. And this is just a thought. I'm wondering if just so much shame and embarrassment that he killed himself. You know, that could be with something like that when you're that, you know, respected and you're that high up and, you know, that established. And who knows? Maybe there's, you know, been, you know, maybe he knew more about his son than others did and, you know, kind of knew what he was capable of and just kind of.
When the son has this raging opioid addiction and is killing people for money, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Including attempting to have himself killed. I mean, that one doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I die, my son won't get my life insurance policy if I commit suicides. But if I get murdered, then he'll get $10 million.
Yep.
I don't know.
I wonder just because, I mean, okay. I mean, he got shot in the head. It was an entry and exit wound. The guy who shot him, I don't know if he's a trained hitman or just a bum on the street that they you know, paid to do this. I could honestly see this really truly having the intent was for him to die. I don't think he was supposed to live. I think that this is they were going to try and do this fraud scheme. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably where it went because I don't care. You shoot anybody in the head, even if you're not aiming directly at the brain. I think if you're not an experienced, I don't know, marksman or know where to shoot, that it could be, it could go wrong pretty quick. You know?
It's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, because everything came out really quickly. You know, it wasn't like, the only two people who knew what happened was him and the other guy.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh man, it didn't work. Well, here's the deal. I pretended to be changing my tire and somebody pulled over and shot me. I mean, it didn't come out that quick. I think he had one story and then broke and told him what really happened.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me like you could pretty easily pull off that I have no idea what happened. Or like, look, I got shot in my head. My memory's just bad. Mm-hmm. I think you could play that card for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because who hires their own hitman to kill them?
Sure.
I don't, nothing about this guy makes sense.
No, there's everything is just bizarre. It continues on too. So there's more deaths surrounding this guy. Alex is eventually arrested and charged. Just to kind of wrap up, or as we get close to the end of our synopsis here, attorneys issued a statement on September 15th saying that they learned of a warrant for his arrest, that he had planned to voluntarily surrender to the authorities the next day. On the 16th, as promised, Alex pulled up to the Hampton County Law Enforcement Center in an SUV, turned himself in. Soon after, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division announced that it had arrested Alex in connection to a shooting incident on September 4th, in which he conspired with Curtis Edward Smith to assist him in committing suicide for the explicit purpose of allowing a beneficiary to collect life insurance. The state's highest law enforcement agency said in a news release, Alex was charged with insurance fraud, conspiracy to commit insurance fraud, and filing a false police report. I can assure you that the agents will continue working to bring justice to anyone involved with this criminal act associated with these ongoing investigations, said the SLED chief Mark Keel in the release. The arrests in this case are only the first step in the process. So that's where it all kind of began for that. Then Alex appealed it in court. And it gets darker and darker. I mean, thus far in, then what do you think about, I mean, all the deaths surrounding this guy forever?
You know, I think there are people, like, I think the one thing he needed was money. My guess is, because he did admit to having a drug addiction, but chances are he had more than just a drug addiction. They had, what, how many acres of land? So, you know, I think he probably needed a lot of money to run his, just to have his property, mm-hmm. maintain his lifestyle.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, who knows? He could be gambling, any other kind of a weird addiction that would go with that. But it sounds like he's someone who is in desperate need of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so if it worked once, you hear those stories of, you know, as spouse killed their first husband and their second and their third, and they finally caught on the fourth. Mm-hmm. And it just makes you wonder if that he, I don't know, just like he got away with it, mm-hmm. or he got away with something at one time that just made him more brazen to do something else than something else.
Yeah.
Because I really don't think that his son and his wife were shot by some random person. Sure. I really don't. If he hired a hitman to kill himself, he could have hired a hitman to kill them, mm-hmm. and get the money.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch. And, you know, that'd be pretty hard to live with, I would mm-hmm. think. I don't know. But then, like, if his dad, they haven't released that cause of death yet. I feel bad for the one son who's living with all of this. I don't know if he just has one other son.
I don't either. Anything connected with his family, I don't know, you know.
Poor kid lost his mom, his brother, his dad's going to jail. Mm-hmm. Housekeeper died. It's like grandpa died. Like, yeah. I feel bad for him. It's a lot.
It is a lot. Let's talk about the next part of this, where the sons of Murdaugh's housekeeper, who died in the trip and fall, now have reached a settlement with the estate's former lawyer. So this is another death that, and that happened too. The sons of the Murdaugh family's longtime housekeeper, who purportedly died after a 2018 trip and fall accident in their South Carolina home, have reached a settlement with a lawyer who had represented them, but who'd allegedly withheld money from them, according to their attorneys. On Friday, an agreement between the estate of Gloria Statterfield, attorney Coy Fleming, and his law firm Moss, Kuhn, and Fleming, and their insurance carrier was reached in connection with the pending lawsuit. Attorneys Eric Bland and Ronnie Richer said in a statement obtained by People. Mr. Fleming and his firm agreed that the estate would be paid back all legal fees and expenses Mr. Fleming and his law firm received from the $4,300 they recovered from the estate in connection with the claims asserted against Alex Murdaugh for the death of Gloria Statterfield, Glenn and Richard said in a statement announced on Sunday night. In addition, their malpractice insurance carrier agreed to pay the estate their full policy limits of insurance, Bland and Richard said. Mr. Fleming stepped forward and did the right thing by the estate. Mr. Fleming and his law firm maintain they, like others, are victims of Alex Murdaugh's fraudulent scheme. A more comprehensive joint statement from Mr. Fleming, his firm, and the Statfield estate will be issued later this week. On September 15th, Bland filed a lawsuit against Alex Murdaugh, alleging that after Statfield died, Murdaugh referred her sons, Michael Tony Statterfield and Brian Harriet, to Fleming so they could file a wrongful death claim against him, the lawsuit says. Alex Murdaugh had allegedly said that Statterfield died after tripping over his family's dogs, Bland told People previously. After the funeral, he came up to the two sons and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to recommend that you go see the attorney, Corey Fleming, and he's going to represent you two in the estate to bring claims and concern with your mother's death." He doesn't tell the boys, "Oh, by the way, this is a lawyer that my best friend, my colleague, roommate," Bland told People. Though a death settlement of $505,000 was approved, Bland told People, the clients haven't been paid one dime since this was settled in 2020. The $505,000 isn't all that Bland alleges his client never received. After he filed the September 15th lawsuit on behalf of his clients, Bland said he discovered the missing judge's order approving $4.3 million in the settlement. The documents were signed by the judge, Bland says, but never filed. According to the order appointing settlement filed in 2019 in the Hampton Court of Commons pleas, the sons were supposed to receive $2.765 million of the $4.3 million settlement. Bland told People the amount that Fleming and his law firm would pay back to the sons was confidential. But in the order approving settlement, it states that $1.435 million of the settlement went to attorney's fees. It's unclear how much the sons would receive. Fleming and his law firm were represented by Thomas Pendervis of the Pendervis Law Offices in Beaufort, South Connecticut or South Carolina, and David Osterfeet. The attorneys and the attorney for Murdaugh did not immediately respond to People's request for comment. Bland and Richard's work is not finished. They said in a statement, the estate will continue pursuing other culpable parties who resist acceptance of responsibility for their part in this tragic matter, the authorities wrote, the attorneys wrote, rather. So they're investigating that death. It just, my God, it's just crazy how this one now, again, it's like one of those, let's look back. Oh, yeah, that seemed kind of weird, too.
And they didn't have to really, really look very hard into that.
Yeah.
Because once you would have talked to her, well, number one, it's weird that she tripped over the dogs and died from that. Mm-hmm. Now, I can understand, you know, you trip, you hit your head, like, not saying that's impossible. But, and I can see why that's why the sons would have gone along with it. Mm-hmm. It's tragic, but things like that do happen. But the fact that I think he advised them, Alex, mm-hmm. on how to handle this. And if you do this, we'll get this insurance settlement and I'll give that to you. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything like what he ended up actually getting. You know.
So I'm assuming there was some fraudulent way where so they would order this suit and then. I guess is he filing with his insurance then saying, look, I had
that's
to pay.
My guess, like, that there was an accidental death.
Yeah. Like I have to pay this out and the insurance company repays him.
I think that it was some kind of settlement mm-hmm. that like against the homeowner's insurance.
Yeah.
So since it was their mother who worked there. So then you've got that whole other thing because that would have been a workplace death. So that might have been how they ended up being able to file that and getting some kind of workman's compensation settlement.
So at some point it would have to flow through him and he just never paid it out.
Exactly.
Okay. So it was like, yeah,
and they were, and the article I read about them, you know, I think they were very intimidated by this whole thing anyway. Mm-hmm. Their mom's dead. You know, here's somebody saying we could get all this money. Like, I think the whole thing was very horrible for them.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being at the funeral and this guy comes up to you, hey, I need you to file this. I mean, are they thinking this is a scheme at that point? Are they, I mean, you got to be like, that's a really weird thing to say to someone at the funeral.
Exactly. And maybe, you know, he's a lawyer, comes from this very well-known, well-to-do family. Mm-hmm. And if he's saying this is what you need to do, like, it's what happened to your mom's horrible. You know, I'm sure he spun it in that kind of way. And like, I wish there was something I could do, but basically workplace accident where she died. If you file this, we can get a settlement and you guys are owed that money.
Yeah.
You know, it's your money and I can help you get it. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I could see how somebody could fall for that.
Yeah.
Especially you're grieving, you're in shock. There's so many emotions that would go with where they would have been at that time.
But it's also rather bizarre to have the person that's coming up to you that, like, I want you to sue me, guys. Please come sue me.
But if he explains it to where, you know, it happened at the workplace, it was an accident, homeowner's insurance would cover that.
The insurance,
like, I can't give you that money out of my own bank account.
Yeah, but insurance
but
would
But that's what you pay you. Insurance for.
Yeah, like, here's what would be the best route to get your money.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have to pay you. It doesn't come out of my money, but this is why I pay for insurance.
Yep.
And then, you know, and I don't know, these guys might be highly educated. They might not be at all. They might just be.
Well, I mean, part of that saying that to someone does make sense. I mean, if like, oh, maybe, you know, he really feels horrible about this and, but he wants to, you know, just make this as smooth as possible. And we're not interested in fighting him in court and doing a big battle. We just want what's right. And if he thinks that that's what would, you know, be the easiest way to get what we think is right, then let's try it. He's clearly not fighting us, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
And he's a powerful lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
Like, if he knows how to get that money without affecting him and he can still get it for us, cool, you know? I can see that just kind of being a thought when if you're in that situation and, you
and
know.
And I think that somebody like him's probably a really smooth talker. He is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's people who are at their worst moment in their lives, I'm sure.
Yeah.
At a funeral, at their mother's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, you could sell that. You know, I want to do this to help your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's do this and we'll get this money. And then he's the whole time knowing that they'll never see a dime of it.
Because he knows in some way he's going to get it or he's going to profit from this in some way, shape, or form. It's just, he goes like, to, there's no, you know, there's just absolutely no shame. There's nothing that will, he will not go to profit or try to profit in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-mm.
It's just so funny.
So that makes me think like there's a gambling addiction or a, opioid addiction explains part of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if you had a $1,000 a day drug addiction, it's like he still had a job, a good paying job, up until very recently.
There's another article that's out right now in People. Maggie and it starts out to Maggie and Alex Murdaugh loved spending time on sunny Escondido Island, South Carolina, where they hosted barbecues at their airy beach house, enjoyed boating off the stunning coastline. You both look so happy here, one Facebook friend wrote in the summer of 2020. After Maggie, 52, posted a picture of herself and Alex with his arms around her, her boat, one of her dogs at her side. Maggie and Alex seem blissful, carefree. Photos she posted of the family at weddings, balls, yacht club events. Her in sleek gowns, her husband and sons, Buster 26, Paul 22, and well-tailored tuxedos. But appearances, especially on social media, aren't always what they seem. Behind the black ties and fancy dresses were miserable people, one local who runs in with the Murdaugh's social circle says in this week's issue of People. wealthy, powerful, and well-known in South Carolina County, where Alex's grandfather started the legal dynasty in 1910. The Murdaughs have drawn national attention in recent months after Maggie and Paul were murdered at their hunting lodge in Islandtown. On the night of June 7, 2021, Alex, 53, came home to find his wife and youngest son shot to death on the ground near the kennels that housed the dogs Maggie held so dear. People are still searching for their killer or killers. They're also trying to unravel the knot of alleged illegal activity, scandal, and bizarre behavior centered on Alex that surfaced after the killings. So, do we think he's involved with the killings of them?
I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
Did he get insurance money with that?
He would have had life. She had a life insurance policy. Sure. And my guess is his son had one too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rich people.
Yeah.
You would have life insurance. Meaning people who aren't rich have life insurance policies. It's the right thing to do, you know, because what if you were in an accident? You don't want your family to be left without.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most people, if they can afford them, they get them.
There's so much more to this one. This is gonna be a great Netflix series when somebody does the doc on it, because it could get probably 10 parts out of this thing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like a Dear John.
Be great.
But I read an article somewhere that she had a couple weeks before she had been murdered that she had talked to a divorce lawyer.
Yeah, that happened too.
You know, so if she's thinking about divorcing him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. Well, that's the latest on that. We'll keep you updated as there's enough to talk about on another episode here on the Dark Side Up. If you like the program, please come supporter of us over on Patreon. You get to search patreon.com and search Dark Side Up, or go to our website, darksidepod.com. And go ahead and check that out. I'll keep us on the air, get all the bonus content, all of the advanced episodes, tons of stuff there for you to keep you occupied and binge away. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Up.